Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, Thursday shows markets across the Asia Pacific, including here in Singapore, just wobbling a little bit on signs that hopes for another U.S. fiscal stimulus package might be starting to wane yet again. But we've really seen markets act in a fickle manner towards the stimulus prospects. And perhaps it's just a function of possible volatility as we head into the very important November 3rd elections out in the United States. Well, we're joined today on Money FM 89.3 by Mr. Jacob Du, who is the CIO of Envision Wealth Management. He's here to share with us how he's preparing himself as we near this landmark event at the start of next month. Jacob, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you are in good health and safe, you and your loved ones, at least, in these times. And welcome to the show. A lot to discuss, sir.
Thank you very much, JP, for inviting me again.
Let's talk first about the seeming driver for markets over the last, week and a half, really. It's the hopes for a U.S. fiscal stimulus package. Whenever you read the reports about why markets are up or down, they always harken back to this. But it seems every day markets seem to flip-flop behind whether or not they want to take stock or hope in a fiscal stimulus package getting done by November 3. Do you think markets might be a little bit too fixated on fiscal stimulus and their ability to propel markets and global economies for the most part?
Well, if you were to look at exactly what's happening right now in the United States, right? Since this COVID-19 pandemic first came to the market, the U.S. government has been focusing primarily on the monetary policy and how to fix the problem. But that's only how much the monetary policy tool could help in helping to show up the economy, which means now, given the fact that we're really at very low interest rates, the Federal Reserve are printing money to buy their own bonds and in order to make sure that the yield curve is flat. There's really nothing much that the Federal Reserve could do at this point in time. And that's why the focus is only on the fiscal stimulus. It's going to be difficult given what we are seeing right now, given the bipartisan, the differences between not only just the White House, but the two Congress, right? And it's extremely difficult for them to come to any consensus. So having said that, because of the bickering, it has created a situation where the speculators are finding difficult to decide how they're going to position themselves. Right from August, right to early part of this month, a lot of short sellers have turned long. What we've seen is that in late September, when there was a correction, the speculators were short, but now they have turned, square up the position and they have turned long instead. On the fact that because they're expecting a fiscal stimulus to come in to at least boost up the economy. So it's going to be difficult for them to hold any short positions. But any failure to reach a consensus will then means that the short sellers will have to decide, do I now short at this level or do I wait for a higher level to do that? And that's why you see the market is being whipsawed. Each time when the government, US government comes out to the market to say that, look, sorry, we may be reaching an agreement. The next day, they may say, sorry, we don't have an agreement. And that's when the speculators couldn't decide how they're going to position themselves. So it creates this kind of whipsaw that we are seeing typically. But rather, I would say that for a long-term investor, such movements and such noise should actually be filtered out. What they should be looking at is that over the longer term, what do they think will likely happen given the current trading pattern, right? Which means that over the longer term, if market is flush with liquidity, which means everyone will try to stay invested in order to just generate certain return. On an overall basis, if you look at where the elections is going to go, if you think that it's going to be a blue wave, then you should start looking at exactly the sectors that are going to benefit when Biden comes in.
Again, this seems to be something that's happening in the markets now. More and more folks seem to be pricing in a potential Biden victory, if they call a blue wave. But again, Jacob, I'm sure you remember what happened in 2016, all that volatility when President Trump really upset all the odds and threw things into a bit of a tailspin. So how dangerous is it for markets to price in a potential of a Biden victory this time around, in spite of the lessons that we learned in 2016?
Well, in 2016, I guess there will be a lot of distortion in terms of, say, you know, the opinion polls that were not accurate at all. And because of the fact that basically no one's really liked Clinton back then, and to choose between two candidates, which you do not like, most of the voters themselves on the Democrat side have decided not to vote at all. Even though Clinton may have won the popular vote, she did not win the electoral votes. And Trump came into the picture. Now, having spent the last 4 years with Trump, I'm sure that the majority of the U.S. residents will be very familiar with what to expect from Trump, right? Which means to the financial markets, everybody will be very happy to have Trump to continue the next 4 years because he can create a lot of volatility. And that's exactly what the banks, the investment banks and speculators would like to have. But for a Biden victory, that will mean lower volatility and a more stable market. because basically he's not going to be a rhetoric. He's not going to be the guy who's going to create and come up and spill with unnecessary policy decisions. He will not be the guy who's going to influence the Federal Reserve or any department's independency. So which means that will give a certain level of certainty, which on an overall basis will definitely benefit the businesses, but it's definitely not going to be so good for the banks or the financial market players as well. So which means that on the longer term, though, I would say that the challenge for Biden and the Federal Reserve would be how could they manage the huge deficit and the vast debt level that they've been building up to support the economy all this while. IMF have come out recently to say that they're encouraging governments to borrow at such low interest rates. The fact is, at some stage, they need to manage and they need to think very carefully, how are they going to unwind the position? They have tried it once after the 2008 crisis, but it failed because the market tanked and the Federal Reserve got scared. And immediately, they came back and said, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to stop. We're going to continue, which means that the balance sheet will blow up further. That's not going to be good on the longer term for U.S. assets, right? So which means the concern I have at the end is that whether the Biden administration and the Federal Reserve will have the gumption to do what's right and necessary. But the fact is, as an overview of what to expect from Biden, the market will see that there will be a tighter regulatory agenda for some of the sectors, such as the suspension of the Affordable Care Act. And this will be good for the health insurance and pharmaceuticals. Sustainability sector, where you can see increased regulatory oversight on energy infrastructure projects, that will be see some support for renewables, and this in turn will be good for the energy sector. But you also see reversal of the U.S. banking deregulation. This in itself will not be good for U.S. banks.
We're listening to Jacob Du, the CIO of Envision Wealth Management, here on Money FM 89.3. So taking from the lessons again of 2016, we saw all that volatility that followed the elections. It might be more important to ask how to handle potential volatility once November 3 comes up. What are you advising clients to do with their investments once we get past the November 3rd election? And if in the event that we have to deal with some potential volatility and uncertainty?
Yeah, in fact, what we've been telling clients right now is that I continue to expect volatility, right, elevated volatility going into the election date itself. And what we have suggested is that even it could be the volatility may persist for another month because November 3rd is actually where popular vote will be decided, right? But the electoral vote generally will complete 1 month later. So which means that there will be still a certain level of uncertainty if there's no clear-cut winner on November 3rd. Which means then for clients to position themselves, what we're saying is that for short-term basis, if they want to go into a dispersion trade, because basically the strategy is like select the stocks and sectors where they are highly uncorrelated. And then this itself will give them a good absolute return. So once the winner has been determined, at least if it's going to be a Biden case, for example, then what we will say is that based on what I just mentioned earlier, those sectors itself, which means the energy sector, the insurance, the pharmaceutical, those are the sectors that are going to benefit from the Biden administration policy. Now, then with regard to the impending and financial IPO, we are saying that the valuation at this moment is just too expensive. We do not like that. Having said that, the demand is very strong. And that's why Ant Financial has come out to say that they're going to price at a higher valuation. Like, hot IPO, the allocation is going to be a problem, right? And most investors, I would say, definitely will be disappointed, which means that the only choice the investor to participate in Ant Financial will be either they buy at the IPO on the IPO day itself, which means they may not necessarily get the level that they like, which means the risk-reward ratio is going to be skewed against them, right? So for them to buy at the lowest levels and with a chance of dropping it faster, what we're suggesting to investors is to do a leverage accumulator because then you're buying at a discount. So from that risk-reward perspective, it makes a better alternative because the client is buying at a discount. If the stocks goes down, you're not losing money on day one and you still have a buffer. But if it goes up, at least you get 1 month guaranteed. So that's another strategy we're telling them to do. With regard to, say, the positioning itself, what we're saying is that and also at this point in time, the client, you just got to be mindful of the fact that, once the volatility will continue one after the election, it will definitely come down because you're moving to year ends. And most of the traders will probably be scoring their books by then.
Because you brought it up, actually, Jacob, it seems that you're not too hopeful that this IPO is going to dazzle markets when they finally list. But what could a disappointing or lackluster ant IPO or debut actually mean for broader Chinese markets or Asian markets? Do you think there could be some negative blowback should ant, if they disappoint, could this actually lead to even bigger negative repercussions?
Well, given the current sentiment right now, when you see the old new IPO that come to the market, the sustainability is an issue. on day one, the price may have gone up higher, but whether the price level is able to maintain at those high levels, it remains to be seen. Right. Take the case of the BTS. Okay. Where everyone knows there's no way that it's going to ever going to maintain at such high level. That's why you can see even after day one jump, it has been coming down since then. If you look at Nongfu, the Nongfu itself, again, you have not been seeing the stock being able to sustain at those price levels. Having said that, if you look at the tech sector, even for the FANGs right now, what we're seeing is that currently they're going to face a lot of regulatory scrutiny, and that itself is not going to be good. And for the Chinese companies, they will continue to see increased pressure from the US, because right now what the US has adopted is a strategy of, without evidence, accusing Chinese parties or any companies for the matter that they are linked to the military, they are spying. So the fact is that such news is not going to give a strong impact for the stock to go faster and higher. And everyone have already priced in where the valuation right now, given the current revenue. So going forward, the Chinese market basically, it's the first one that have come out from the COVID-19 problem. The US and Europe are facing a second wave. So therefore, where is the revenue going to come from? Because then you're going to be limited only to within the second largest economy in the world.
So, you know, it seems that you've been a bit more cynical about Ant's IPO, and you also hinted at Big Hit's IPO not being able to sustain their levels. Is there any reason then for a retail investor to participate in an IPO if the upside, especially these particular examples, if the upside doesn't seem to be that great in the short term? Should they just wait for things to come down and people to take profit before they come in if they really want that stock, and not participate in at the get-go from the IPO?
Well, at the moment itself, I mean, the behavior that we are seeing right now is exactly the sort of behavior that we've seen in the past, in the 1990s and even in the early 2000s, when everyone just came to the market, buy and took a shot and punt and took the profit out after that. All right. So, which means that for any retail investor who want to participate in this, I would say that if you buy at today's level, given the fundamentals are not as strong as what they should be, I would say it's, if you were to make at least, you know, a double-digit return, yeah, take your money off the table and watch. You will probably be able to find better levels to get in again.
Very interesting. Okay, I'd like to thank Mr. Jacob Du, CIO of Envision Wealth Management. That's all the time we have. But thank you so much for stopping by and sharing with us your thoughts on what the market should watch out for in the next coming weeks and how to prepare for potential market impact from the U.S. elections in November 3rd. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these very challenging times. And we look forward to having you back on the show again in the future. Have a great rest of the day, sir.
You too. Thank you. And take care.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.